Welcome again to Sotong Sessions. You're on with Candace,
Julia,
and Jazz.
Here again for another week, another episode. As always, I mean, I try to stay humble with a thank you at the beginning of every episode.
Stay grounded.
Yes, you know. But they, you know, our friends, our listeners, you guys be gassing us up. Your comments are so great. Very informative. You know what I love about our listeners and our viewers? Nobody hits you with that good job. It's usually like very detailed, right? It's like when you had said that one thing, I felt like that bore witness with what I was believing. Or the opposite, where people were like, yo, tell me more about that. It's a lot of detailed comments. So thank you guys again for all the feedback, all the love, for catching our episodes every week. We appreciate it.
We do.
Yes.
Ladies, how y'all doing this week?
I'm tired today, but you know, I'm rocking. I'm here. I'm riding.
Why are you tired? Tell us what's going on. What happened? Who did it?
Long week, long day, a lot of stuff going on, but I'm good. I'm here.
That's real.
Right. That's what I want to say. That's the realest.
Yeah.
Been a long week. Surviving is tough.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Adulting, man. Adulting is hard.
Yes. Jazz, how you doing this week?
I'm pretty good. It's hot down in these Carolinas, but
are you spritzing? I'm gonna take some moment to like a church mama on Easter Sunday.
We're the church fan.
Yeah, that Martin Luther King Jr. fan.
Yep, with the wooden stick on it. Gotta get the one.
Everybody has. Who's still making those? Because people keep coming out with them. Somebody's still making.
They are still being made.
Like by now, they should have like Barack Obama ones or something.
Oh, come on now. They had those. You know they had those.
Somebody
just ain't gave up their Martin Luther King yet. No. where I grew up, like my house, there's like a little like corner store, I guess on the East Coast y'all call them bodegas, but we just call them liquor stores here. And they, as soon as he got elected, they invented the Obama burger, and they had like his face like spray painted on the side, and for $3.95 you can get you a burger that was about this thick. The Obama burger,
$3.95. Did it come with fries?
No,
see, you have to pay. Why are people doing that these days?
Because nobody likes their fries. You get the burger from there, you get your fries and your fried rice from the Chop Suey across the street and the Vest soda. You gotta mix, you gotta support Black-owned businesses.
Okay.
Yo, on that note though, that is what I want to talk about this week, actually.
Okay, go for it. Jump in.
I don't know how to put it delicately, so I'm just gonna say this. Like, do you guys have jobs?
You guys work.
Do you work for a living? I'm just curious.
Yes.
Because actually, like, that was one of the biggest things about repatriating, I guess is what you call it, is that coming back into America, especially if you've been overseas for a long time, you don't have work history. Or if you do, you fill out, like, that employee line, and then they ask permission to contact your supervisor, you got to write a little note. Okay, but just contact my supervisor by email because she don't speak no English. She's going to Google Translate that and send you a response back, unless you got like that good phone plan and you don't mind calling internationally. Like, there's all these addendums.
Yep.
That's something I ran into coming back. And so I was just curious.
Yep. And like job applications are not international friendly. Like even when you have to put in your previous work address, phone number, like, and then they're required fields, right, on the form, so you can't, like, they give you only the 50 states, only certain areas, like, it's a whole thing that people do not even think about, and it's so frustrating when you're trying to fill out an application.
So what's it been like being back in the States, what's it like working here versus working in Korea? What was the biggest difference, and then what was that challenge like?
Jazzy, you want to take that first?
Yes.
Y'all stay calling on me when I don't raise my hand.
Because you don't raise your hand.
It was hard. It was really hard breaking into the job market here because I mean,
ooh, that sigh right there.
Y'all know I'm always coming with the sigh.
Yeah, that was real though.
Like, it is, because you have to translate your entire job history overseas to like America. And then you have to figure out how to market yourself and how to present yourself in an American culture. And like, you know, we've been abroad for so long, like coming back as a much older adult, like trying to put those puzzle pieces together is really difficult. And I feel like I needed a support group just for my job search because it was that hard.
You're a good one to call on a support group too. You always talking about that. Like, yo, I'm gonna need support in this area.
It's real. I got people to look over my resume. Thankfully, my mom has a lot of HR experience, and she has a lot of professional expertise. So I was leaning on her a lot. I just had to be creative and use resources and get, you know, people that had been here or expats of our, like friends of ours that had been back in the States for a while, like before we came back. I had to call on them and be like, listen, how do I do this? Where do I even start? Yeah. It was overwhelming. And I mean, I was in that job search for over a year. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you feel like you're just getting rejected. You have to constantly tweak your resume, constantly switch up your approach. I learned about the value of networking. Like all those things that like 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds know, like we just now are kind of like learning about and getting our feet wet with since, you know, we're back here, but it's a lot.
Right. Let's back up a little bit. Do you tell us what it was like working in Korea? Like, what's that work culture like?
It was different. I think, I mean, so as an educator, because I taught here in the States before I went overseas, mm-hmm. right? So the education system one is very different, but then even just the culture of how they expected me to kind of carry out my role as an English teacher was different than me being like a full-time general ed teacher here in the States, right? Mm-hmm. So it was different for me because here I was working hours and hours and hours. I mean, a lot of times I was the first person in the building in the morning at my school and I was the last one to leave at night. Yeah. And I was always carrying work home with me. You know, I would sit in front of my TV and watch my Grey's Anatomy DVD while I'm grading papers and lesson planning. Like that was my life for 3 years here in the States while I was teaching. And mm-hmm. then I go overseas kind of expecting to still have that level of like work ethic, but I didn't really need it as an English subject teacher. Mm-hmm. 4:30 rolled around and all my other coworkers are picking up their bags to walk out the door. And I'm like, wait, we got work to do, you know, but it was because of that where I was, it was like, no, we're good. You know, like we're leaving, we're going home. Like, come on, let's go. But then in a different school that I worked in, it was very similar because I was the general ed teacher mm-hmm. and I was teaching all the subjects in English. And so it was very similar to being back here where I was working long hours. I was taking stuff home. I was lesson planning at home. I was the first one in and the last one out, just like I was here. So for me, it was kind of similar in mm-hmm. terms of work ethic. Mm-hmm.
Jazzy, we're talking about like how difficult it is to like get into the workforce here and all of the things you have to do. What about getting a job in Korea? Like how did that compare?
Easy. You know somebody that knows somebody that needs a teacher, you got a job the next day. Like literally, yes. I quit my job not having another one in place. Like who does that in a foreign country when your visa is dependent on your employment status, right? Like
your visa, your lease,
your insurance,
like your insurance, your phone,
everything.
Like your whole existence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I quit my job and I had another one just like that. And that was the case for really all of the jobs I had in Korea. It's just word of mouth. Again, there's a small expat community, you know, you put it out there and just like that, you're getting postings or openings. So it's really easy. But when you're away from the States for so long and for like me, I didn't really have a lot of professional connections back here in the States. So I wasn't able to keep in contact with people like that. I didn't have anyone to keep in contact with. So then coming back, it was literally starting from ground zero and trying mm-hmm. to build on top of that. So
And then just not even having like that valid work history as well, where you could build from. Yeah. I think that that part is very addictive. And I think that's why I've been like reluctant to come back. And even when I come back and I'm here for like a few months, I'm like, this is too hard. I'm just gonna go to Korea first. Let me tell you, fly to Korea, hang out with my friends and wait to see what pop off. And never has that failed me. Like, within a month or so, I'll have a new job that came with a new house, that came with a new phone, that came with health insurance. It's that easy. I don't remember which episode it was we did in season one, but I remember that there was a girl who wrote in, a young woman who wrote in, and she was moving to Korea. She had just gotten a job. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. And her dad was looking for like podcasts for about Black women who worked and lived in Korea for her to listen to. Yeah. And she wrote in about listening to our podcast and how helpful that was for her. So I think there are a lot of like, especially Black women who are looking to work abroad, travel abroad for obvious and not so obvious reasons. And I just want to say, Korea make it real easy, y'all. Yeah. They make it really, really easy.
I just got messaged actually today from a friend of mine who was like, hey, do you have time to chat to talk about working overseas? And I was like, I don't have time today, but we can get on a call tomorrow. So we're going to talk tomorrow. And there have been many people who were like friends have been like, hey, do you mind if my so-and-so hits you up to ask you a few questions about working overseas? And because it is very easy. I mean, I didn't know anybody really in Korea before I came over, but I was able to find my job. I think I started applying and I got a job within like 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they were like, can you be here tomorrow? And I was like, whoa, I need a minute to like pack up my stuff and say goodbye to my family. Like, can you give me another 2 weeks? But it was literally that turnaround. It was like you got the job and they wanted you here next day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is very easy. And like you said, Candace, they take care of you. So you don't feel like you have to worry too much about A, B, C, and D because all of that is covered. Yeah. So it's just the ease of it. And then you come back home and you're like, wait, okay, I got this bill. I got to do this. I got to turn this on. I got to find this information. I got to
on your own.
It's right on your own. And then I think even with us, you know, with our age and then also like when we left and when we were gone and then when we came back, so much has changed.
Yeah.
So the process of applying, the process of like resume building, the process of networking, all of that was very different from when we left to when we came back. So it was like having to, like Jazzy said too, having to learn all of that from scratch.
Yeah, but I will say like the Korean workforce, things move very fast. Yes. I found that in America, HR process is so slow, especially in the state that I was in. Like, it takes them forever just to read over your application, and then you have to wait 6 to 8 weeks for them to contact, and then you have to wait till the job posting closes, and then you have to go through one screening process, another screening process, phone interview, person interview, CEO interview. Like, it's just, there's so many steps. But in Korea, like, the hiring process is fast. Also, just like the work culture in general, like, things move very quickly, things change very quickly. So you're used to adapting to that system. And then you come back here and it's like slow. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. I think like what Dilya was saying, the same thing happened to me. Like, you can sit at home in America, look on like a job board, send the email. They'll ask for your resume with the picture on it. That was a big difference. Mm-hmm. I noticed coming back, they want you to take your picture off your resume. Yeah. They don't want to be accused and know whatever. But in Korea, they need to know what you look like before, ahead of time. And then, you know, you answer a couple of questions. You do a little quick, you know, Skype interview maybe, and then they're like, okay, well, we booked you this flight that leaves on Monday. Right. You started this on Thursday. And we got you a place to stay. And I think the other thing that makes it really easy as well is that it's a safe country in general. Seoul is probably like the biggest and the busiest city. And even then, like, they can just drop you in the middle of Seoul and you'll still survive, you know, like, you're not going to die. It's not going to cost you nothing as well. Whereas I think in the States, you got to be like, yo, what's the crime rate in that state? What's that city like? Is it safe for a young Black woman? Mm-hmm. All of these factors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you would think it would be the opposite way around. Like when right. people hear that we've been abroad, it's like, wait, where were you? Is it safe? Like, you know, how did you even know to go there? Like all these questions. Right. It's like, actually, I was more concerned moving states than I was like, moving countries.
Still concerned. That's my number one concern right now.
Yeah,
definitely. I think we did a whole episode about that as well, like all the questions people asked us about our safety in Korea. And I think that was very true. We were more concerned about the safety of our family here in the States and how they were getting on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think definitely work environment is a little bit different. Getting a job, that whole support system in Korea is different. But y'all did come home and y'all did find jobs. And Jazz is telling us a little bit about how difficult that was. Delia, how about you? What's it like now on this side of the ocean? What's working in there?
I think for me, it's a little bit different because I career switched, I guess you can kind of say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't come back to be a full-time teacher, which I think that if I had, would have made the process maybe a little bit easier because I also have my resume also shows that I have experience teaching here in the States. So I think that if I had come back to become like a full-time teacher and find a job teaching in a school somewhere, my process would have been a little bit easier, maybe smoother. But because I came back wanting to kind of be more on the theatrical side and do more theater things and teach that way, I had to kind of build a network. And so I kind of had to reach out to friends that I hadn't spoken to in 10 years. I had to reach out to college professors who I hadn't seen since I graduated and be like, hey, I'm back. I need some help. Can you like, you know, point me in the right direction? Can you give me some advice, some leads? And so that took some time. That took some time. And I think it took me, initially, I think it took me about like 4 or 5 months before I felt like I was able to kind of have something that was workable. And then even now still, it's still kind of like, I was getting like little pieces of stuff here and there that I was kind of grabbing onto. And stuff was just starting to pick up before Rona hit. You know, like my summer was actually booked. Like I was fully booked for the summer. And then everything just got shut down. So that would have been like a whole full year, you know, that it would have taken me to find kind of to settle, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it took some time. And like you were saying with the resume and the gaps even, you know, because I have experience, but then like you see it on my resume, it looks like, you know, it's 10 years ago or it's 5 years ago. And then it looks
right.
Like what you've been doing, you know, where were you? Oh, so you were in a foreign country living it up for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's kind of what people automatically think. And it's like, no, I mean, yeah, I had a great time, but I was also living a day-to-day life working my behind off too. So, you know, it took some time on the way back to reacclimate.
I think that is the hardest part of this whole life. Like if you love to travel and you choose to be an expat for any period of time and then you do decide to come back home, that part of it, transitioning workforces into the American workforce, I mean, it's underrated. Like I don't think people tell you enough about how hard it's gonna be. Like out of all of my group of friends, like all of y'all, no one has moved back to the States and found a job in under a year. That has not happened out of anybody I know. So yeah, man, it's not for the faint of heart. That's why I stayed gone so long. I'm like, screw this. I'm going back to Korea. I don't want to struggle and make minimum wage here. No.
Yeah. What do you guys think it was like, though, working in Korea in terms of maybe some of the things that you found challenging being over there versus like coming from, you know, the States? What were some things about working over there that were challenging that kind of made you maybe feel like, I don't know if this is, you know, what I really expected when I came to live in a foreign country?
Mm-hmm. I think you touched on the biggest one earlier when you were saying like you're the first one to get to work, the last one to leave. Like there was a period where I was a manager for a language center. And so that was an expectation. Like I needed to be in my office before the director got in, and I need to still be in my office when he or she left, just on principle. And if she didn't want to go home and she wanted to spend 12 hours at work, then I was at work for 14. Like that was just, that is the work culture. Mm-hmm. And so Korea has ranked constantly, more than once, quite low on the productivity scale out of all of the developed nations, because the amount of time they spend at work and the amount of work that they actually get done doesn't bode well. And that's the reason everyone has to, you know, put on airs. I think just those unreasonable expectations, we used this word before, like Bali Bali, everything has to be like this. And so there's some substance that gets lost in that, you know, and I don't see that level of toxicity here, but Jazz, what did you find?
I think it's the same. And a lot of the challenges were cultural, because the culture is very fast. It's honorific. It's you respect your elders. You, I don't want to say kiss their butt, but you kiss their butt. Like, it's a hierarchy system, right? And so your boss gives you a project. There's no questions. Like, you just work on it. You don't ask for help. You don't, you have to be creative and resourceful within yourself to get it done. Mm-hmm. And here I'm finding like, there's a lot more flexibility. There's a lot more collaboration. There's a lot more patience. I kind of brought that Korean work culture, like, okay, I have to do everything. I have to figure it out. If I have a question, I got to research it. I got to, go all the way around the mulberry bush instead of going directly to my supervisor to ask and get a quick answer, So I'm kind of shedding that part of the toxic work culture from Korea. And it's really liberating. It's nice to experience that. It really is. But yeah, I would say most of the challenges were just cultural, language barrier. Like I said, things change very fast. And as the foreign teacher or, foreign worker, you don't necessarily get advance notice about things that other Korean native workers would get. So you're kind of just going with the flow a lot of the times. You just have to be adaptable and you just got to roll with it.
Yeah. Jazz, I wonder, do you think that your current work culture is the typical American work culture, or do you find it to be a little bit above normal? Because your people treat you real good.
Thank you.
From day one, they treat you good.
I don't think it's typical, honestly. I mean, I have work experience in America, and this is a really, really good team that I work with. They threw me a surprise bridal shower.
When I remember that.
I had only been with the company for a couple of months. And they found out I was getting married and they just threw me a bridal shower. It was awesome. So yeah, I think for sure my experience right now is above average. And I'm so thankful that this is like my landing place after Korea, because it's like the complete opposite of what I experienced in Korea.
Yeah. What are, just to give some sort of relevance or perspective, what are some other, like two other things that make that work culture really great? Because I think you mentioned like they give mental health days or something like that.
Well, our boss gave us Juneteenth off, or partly off.
You know what I'm saying? Right there.
Yeah.
That's all she needed.
To process what was going on, and then also to educate ourselves more about Juneteenth, because a lot of people, don't know what it is. They hadn't heard of it. So it's like, hey, you know what? If you want to take this day off, take half the day off, go educate yourself. Here are some resources that I'm providing you with.
That's dope.
Go and do what you will. So that was awesome. And then I think just the support and collaboration. Like, my boss is not some far off distant figure that appears in and out of the mist, like she's actually someone that helps me when I need help and that I don't hesitate to go to ask questions. And I think those are things that I was missing in Korea for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Yeah. T, what do you think? What's one of the benefits of, even just attempting the American work culture? Like, what's something cool that you've noticed about it?
I don't know if I have an answer to that.
That's fine. That's fair. I think Jazz is in a very unique situation, and I wanted that to be known.
Yeah, most of my experience since I've been back has been more like independent contractor type stuff.
Yeah.
Which has been a completely new thing for me to learn, not being an employee and having the benefit benefits behind it and all of this stuff that makes you feel a bit more comfortable and secure. And then having to make sure that I take care of all those things for myself, like taxes, you know, got to make sure I set aside some money for my taxes because that stuff doesn't come out of my pay. So it's things like that. So, and for me, I don't have just one boss or one set of colleagues. I've got multiple because I work in multiple different places. So there's always that element of like, okay, what space am I operating in right now? What hat am I wearing right now? And so it's a lot to juggle. So I don't know if I really have like a set culture right now. I kind of make it myself because I'm in charge of my own kind of job situation, you know?
I mean, you don't have the support. I mean, we talk about it's basically night and day with Korea, you know, like you step in there and they're like, we got you a house, we got you a phone, we got you health insurance, you know what I'm saying? To this point where you have to think about like how much your taxes are going to be at the end of the year. Do you enjoy that level of freedom? Do you feel like that's one of the benefits that you do have about coming to America, that you can just decide, okay, I'm just going to do a little this, a little that?
I do actually enjoy the freedom. I actually had a job just recently tell me that they were going to put us all under employees. And I was like, Mama, no! You know, and I legit sat down with my dad and I was like, okay, Dad, here's the situation. What you think? You know, because mm-hmm. I've gotten so used to it now. I think just having that freedom of being like, okay, this is my job. I don't have to be on anybody's time clock. I don't have to worry about what, you know what I mean? Like I can kind of move how I want to. If I wake up one day and I don't feel like working, as long as I've hit my tasks, I'm good, you know? So it's been a little different for me in that respect, but I think I do like it. Like I like being able to have that autonomy over my schedule and that autonomy over my life. So then, I mean, the financial piece is a bit of a hurdle because I still have to make sure that I'm, you know, hitting my goals and my bills every month. Mm-hmm. But I like the freedom, I think, and the flexibility of being in control of my space. I don't know how I would do right now for me. I don't know how well I would do if I had like a 9-to-5. I just don't think I could do it. As much as I love like teaching and being in the classroom, the idea of being in a classroom every day makes me like nauseous, like honestly. So I just can't do it no more. The grace has been lifted.
Yes, ma'am.
You know?
That's real.
It has been
lifted. I think we were both discussing this before. I feel the same way. I think one benefit, because my last year in Korea, I was a part of like the Seoul Global startup team, right? So we were all like launching our own startups, they were like, oh, you know, try to stay in that like first year of startup as long as you can, enjoy it because taxes are coming and da 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 da. And I was like, okay, you know, just kind of going along with the process. Whereas when I moved back to America, when I tell you, like, I like launched my business officially on a Saturday afternoon. That was it. And then the government, like, they have all these like programs, and if you're like a Black woman, they have even more support. If you are like a Black woman from a certain area, there's more support. If you launch your business in the state of Missouri, you don't have to worry about doing it again. Like there is just all this support. And I realized that America prefers the entrepreneur over the employee. Like it was way easier just to start my own businesses and to do my own thing here than to find a job. I could not get hired at Quick Trip. I said, I will pump gas. They was like, no, you're overqualified. Wow. Yes. But they had let me, today I did the third one. I've started 3 businesses here. No problem. Can't get a job at Quick Trip though. So I don't know. that's them new United States I be talking about.
Yeah. But congratulations. I'm so proud of you for just doing your thing. Both of y'all being entrepreneurs out here, like coming from Korea all the way here to start your own and do your own and be your own. It's amazing. I'm proud of you guys.
Oh, thanks. But I don't really... I didn't have to choice, but thank you. I don't have like an other skill set, you know.
I mean, honestly, I didn't have a choice either because I was laid up in bed for 4 months doing absolutely nothing. So for me, I was like, I need to figure out what I want to do. Like, I really need to look at myself and be like, what do I want? Mm-hmm. And when I looked at what I wanted, it did not include an office job. So I was like, okay, how do I make this work for me?
Yeah.
And where do my skill sets lie and my talents and my passions that I've been kind of like too scared to try to use? How do I figure out how to use them? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, Candace, I thought about you when I started because I was like, Candace be doing it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just go for it. Oh. And I did. So.
Yo. That's that support system, though, that Jazz is always a fan of. You know, you gotta reach out. I do feel like that part of, I feel reluctant to say it, but I will admit, I do feel like that part of the American dream is still intact. Like, you come in, you decide, all right, there's nothing that I can do here. I don't fit any kind of mold. I'm just gonna create my own mold and let that be, you know, how I get by in this country. And so far for me, it seems to be working. I mean, I came in the middle of a pandemic, and so I got the benefit of that. Shout out to the SBA for helping out with those situations. Yeah, I don't think I could have done that as quickly in any other country. So I don't know, man. Well, it's nice hearing the struggle is real, that it's not made up. That we want to put that out there, especially for our listeners from season one, too, who did ask a lot of questions about moving and life in Korea and what that was like, because I don't think we ever really got the chance to talk about the work culture in Korea. It's easy to get in. It's not as easy to endure. But overall, I don't know. Do you? If you had to choose today, this life or the work environment you had in Korea, what's it going to be?
What? I don't know. How you be asking these questions?
That's hard. I mean,
is it hard? That support. That support was unmatched.
Right. Like, it's not just about being over there working. There was so much more about that life that we had that will never be duplicated.
Ooh, it's very. I wish we could combine the best of both worlds. Because, like, I mean, I have a sweet job now, but my last job in Korea was sweet as well. I don't know, like, thank the Lord for always blessing me with awesome jobs because we had a nap room in that school and my boss used to tell me to go to sleep for like an hour between classes. So I don't know. I think
you have a different level of grace than the rest of us in general. I'm starting to hear some things that I was like, we didn't have a nap room.
I put my head on my desk for 5 minutes.
Right. And pretend I was great in something. Yeah, maybe.
No, I think it would just be different depending on, you know, situation and time. Jazzy said, you know, taking the best of both worlds, I think would be really, it'd be nice to have a balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you guys once again, as always, for tuning in, for sending us the tough questions and the easy ones. We love it. As always, you guys can share and subscribe and like and follow and rate. Catch us every, what is that, Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for our live premiere. One, if not all of us, will be in the chat willing to talk to you about some things. Ladies, until next time.